There's a very interesting geometric parable, which is very popular in Israel and in the Israeli discourse, and was made popular by the Talmidim of Rav Kook. And the geometric shape is a triangle, or in Hebrew, the Mishulash. And the three points of the triangle in national religious thought are, of course, Am Yisrael, Toras Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. Jewish people, Torah, and the land of Israel. And the purpose of incorporating these three as three different points of the triangle is to demonstrate their inseparability and their complete equality. And you can't rate one as superior to the other. You can't separate or extricate one from the other. Now, Rav Amital would oftentimes disagree with that and would claim that Am Yisrael comes before Toras Yisrael, and Toras Yisrael comes before Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that you can build a religious consciousness in the absence of one, and it also doesn't mean that one can exist without the other. It's Am Yisrael in its complete eminence, or its complete emanation, needs Torah, and the two of them need to be in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, Torah without Eretz Yisrael, the full range or the full spectrum of mitzvahs can't be implemented. But they can be rated, and to a degree, they have identity without each other. So Am Yisrael exists without Torah, and not in its complete form, and Torah can obviously be practiced outside of Eretz Yisrael. He felt that this ranking, so to speak, was reflected in the timeline. The fact that on Pesach we became a nation, 7 weeks later we received the Torah, and 40 years later, but it should have been about a couple weeks later, we walked into Eretz Yisrael, we marched into Eretz Yisrael. And of course, in the political discourse of the 80s and 90s, in which the settlers, were very assertive in trying to settle as much land as possible in Eretz Yisrael, to build what is called Eretz Yisrael HaShlema. Some people felt that that came at the cost sometimes of Am Yisrael, whether literally, whether the finances were being invested in land and infrastructure, where they could have been invested in domestic causes, or even in ideological currency, where sometimes our efforts to build land as assertively as possible may have created resentment. Now, that's a very tricky issue, resentment, because if a person is always worried and concerned about resentment, he'll be very limited in asserting principles. But at least that was part of the conversation that took place in the 80s and 90s, and that was part of the application of this question of whether it's a triangle or whether it's a ordination or sequence of three values, all of which are supremely important, but which can be ranked. At some point, it also informed the question of whether, in theory, again in 2016, it seems like almost like a horrible joke, because there's no one that's really interested in making peace with us. But when the question of peace for land was very much in play, so in theory, that was also a competition of sorts between the land of Israel, the people of Israel. If the people of Israel would be served, and peace for the residents would be better served by forfeiting land of Israel, would that be a worthwhile exchange? So it was a very active part of Rav Amital's conversation, and by extension, we as Talmidim in the yeshiva spoke about it very passionately, very aggressively, not aggressively in the sense of violence, but very passionately. And there's an interesting medrash. Rav Amital never quoted this medrash, but when I saw this medrash, it made me think about this whole conversation. Moshe is begging and praying for entry into the land of Eretz Yisrael. And that at a certain point, Hashem tells him in a very definitive term, Ki lo tavor es hayarden hazeh. And Moshe has already got the concept that he's not entering Eretz Yisrael. What is Hashem conveying when he emphasizes Ki lo tavor es hayarden hazeh? So the Medrash effectively says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe not only why he won't enter, but also why his remains won't be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because you think at the very least he should be privileged to a burial in Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem effectively tells him that if Moshe's body is in Chutz La'aretz, then the resurrection of dead bodies from Chutz Laaretz is guaranteed. Because resurrection will, of course, have to concern itself with Moshe Rabbeinu. And once Moshe Rabbeinu's body is exhumed from a foreign burial plot and migrates to Eretz Yisrael, all the other Jewish people will migrate along with Moshe. It's a very intriguing medrash theologically, of course. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need this gimmick, so to speak? The metaphor of the medrash is to a person who loses some copper coins and he wants to enlist the help of people to locate, to identify, to recover those coins. So instead of saying, help me with my coins, he throws a gold coin into the general vicinity and he announces that there's a gold coin there, and while they're searching for the gold coin, they recover the other coins as well. So the mashal is that Moshe Rabbeinu's body is thrust into a dark area, Chutz Laaretz, so that when resurrection, Tchias HaMeisim, occurs, Moshe's body will be responsible for the recovery of all and the return of all the other bodies, as the Medrash ends, Kach Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Im Nikbar Atat Slam BaMidbar, if you're buried in the desert, doesn't mean the desert, but outside of Israel, Hein Ba'im Bizchutcha, they will return through your merits, V'at Baber Osham, and you will lead them back, Shenemar V'yare Shitlo, V'yese Rasham, a reference, at least according to the Medrash, to Moshe's return during the time of Tchias HaMeisim. Now, aside from the theological intrigue of this Medrash, effectively what this Medrash boils down to for Moshe Rabbeinu was the following choice. His body can be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so he can merit some taste, some contact with Eretz Yisrael. But the cost is a cost to the Jewish people. Because for whatever reason, again, beyond the description of the Shir, Tchias HaMeisim for Jews buried outside of Eretz Yisrael will be more complicated if Moshe is buried in Eretz Yisrael. So essentially, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it comes down to a decision between Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael would dictate he be buried in the land of Israel. Am Yisrael's needs have him being buried outside of the land of Israel. And of course, Moshe, it's not clear what he chooses, but it's chosen for him. And that selection, or that prioritization, may serve to highlight the fact that Am Yisrael has value and importance even before Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe's burial site, as tragic as that location is coordinated based on the needs of Am Yisrael. It's a very interesting medrash. Again, I didn't hear this from Rav Amital, but I've heard Rav Amital speak about this so often. When I saw this medrash, it made me think about that ordination, that Rav Amital never saw it as a triangle, but rather as three very important, supremely important factors, inseparable, but still able to be ranked.